Welcome back to Sports Day, and it's fantastic to have our very first guest tonight. He is the AFL General Manager of Football in his new role. We haven't spoken to him this season. His name is Brad Scott, and he joins us here on Sports Day. Brad, welcome. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very well. Thanks for having me on, Carl. G'day, Mark.
Yeah, it's nice to have you on the show, mate. Now, I've got to start with the COVID effect. How have you felt things have panned out? West Coast have been badly affected. We've seen a number of teams lose players week after week now. What's been the talk around AFL House?
Well, look, it's been a hugely challenging couple of years for everyone, obviously. And you know, we were really keen to get the 2022 season underway and be clear to all our fans and everyone that we would push ahead and that we would play. And that's why we were so... You know, we did a lot of work in the pre-season around, you know, COVID contingencies and top-up players, and you know, we did a lot of work with the clubs. And at the time, to be honest, a lot of the clubs thought that, you know, it was unlikely that COVID top-up players would need to be used. But here we are in the situation. So I know it's been hugely challenging for West Coast in particular. You know, but I think for the industry's sake, we've got to keep games going. So, you know, West Coast have... You know, I know it's been difficult for them, but they've done, you know, a terrific job in the circumstances. I know that might be hard for people to hear over in Perth, but they've done an enormous amount of work behind the scenes and worked really closely with us.
Brad, the aesthetics of the game always under scrutiny, no more so than the job you have now. And we've got some numbers in front of us, which I guess tell us a tale about where the game is heading. Are you comfortable with how attractive it looks, the scoring numbers, the way that it is being received by fans in general?
Yeah, look, all in all, I think the game's in a really good spot in terms of the way the game's being played. And there'll always be different views, and I think that's what makes our game great. You know, there two people can watch the same game and have a different view as to, you know, whether it was a good game or not. But yeah, and I'm also really conscious that numbers, you can use stats to tell a whole lot of stories. So, you know, we don't, you know, I'm not a fan of sort of pulling out one stat and using that as a proxy for the state of the game. But I think the combination of stats that we're seeing are pleasing. And the one that probably is the most pleasing is the margin compression. We're seeing the tightest margins across the first 8 weeks of this season in the last decade. And that's in combination with scoring being slightly up. So that talks to the fact that, you know, most fans can have a reasonable expectation that their team's got a chance to win.
One thing, Brad, that's never changed. I don't know what Lou Matthews used to say to you, but Mick Muldaur said to us, first team to 12 goals wins, boys. And on the weekend, 8 of 9 games were decided with the team getting to 12 goals first. In fact, in 8 of those 9 games, none of the opposition except for Collingwood made it to 12 goals. Gold Coast won with only 10 goals on the board. So that was an interesting statistic that I've always carried with me, which hasn't changed. Even though players now handle the football about 250 times more.
It's interesting the way different people look at it. I mean, that's interesting you say that with Mick, Carl, because my experience as an assistant coach to Mick Malthouse was that we just weren't going to let the opposition score. So, maybe he changed from his West Coast to his Collingwood days.
Now, just one quick one before I let Skeet back at you. The stand rule. Now, I've noticed this one too, Brad, and you being an old AFL coach, I don't reckon you'd be happy either. How many blokes do you see now within range trying to run around the corner and kick a goal and miss? It happens every week.
I reckon we actually got some PhD students looking at this because it's a question that I get a little bit as to, you know, what's more accurate, the standard traditional set shot of goal or the round the corner shot. So we're actually going to do a study on that and I'll get back to you with the results.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, Brad, what Carl and I have seen commentating footy is exactly what Carl said. They, if they're 50 out, they go on the arc, and 9 times out of 10, they botch their kick or don't kick the goal they're hoping to. Speaking of goals, Brad, the stat that I was quite fascinated with regards to big forwards hitting the scoreboard through 8 rounds, 29 times this season, they've seen 5 goal hauls put in place. In context, last year, there were 50 in total. So, obviously, the Lynches, Kernos, Camerons, Peter Wright, etc., and McKay, they're getting hold of the footy. I think people want to see the forwards have their time in the sun.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that you know, we're probably all showing our age here, but you know, we grew up in a bit of a golden era of, you know, Dunstall, Lockett, Ablett, Modra, you know, Peter Sumich, you know, all these great full forwards kicking bags of goals. And you know, for quite a while we've said that, you know, these guys have been almost bred out of the game. So it's great to see the big key forwards kicking bags of goals. And I think the major difference now is when we say big key forwards, that they are, like, they're over 200 centimetres, these guys. So, you know, when you think back to those days, you know, Dunstall and Lockett at about 189 centimetres, it's the game does change and evolve, and so do the players.
Now, Brad, let me ask you a two-part question. One, relating to the descent rule, which has obviously copped a lot of attention. The front bar promo, I thought, was quite interesting with you in the coach's box and displaying times of frustration, which I'm sure you had a giggle at yourself. But on a serious note, the level of descent, it looks like it's now got into a bit of a rhythm. And in fact, talking to people in the WAFL over here, even at that level where those rules aren't in place, players are reacting from what they're seeing at the top, which is players showing, I guess, more restraint and more respect to officials.
Yeah, look, to your first point, yeah, it was hilarious. And I did say to our AFL executive that, you know, how the media are going to run this with me lecturing people on umpire descent. But, you know, ultimately it's, you know, do as I say, not as I did. But and I think that's true for all of us. I mean, we probably grew up in an era where people thought that it was okay, you know, to abuse umpires. And the reality is it's just not, you know, it's not going to solve all the challenges we've got with needing to attract more umpires to the game, but the elite players do have a responsibility to set the example, and it's really pleasing to hear that about the Waffle, and that's the feedback we're getting from community football as well, that the players at that level are mirroring what they're seeing at AFL level. And it's got to the point where there's no doubt we had some teething problems, no doubt we had a bit of a rocky start, but it's the right thing to do, and the players have responded really well to the point now where it's almost a non-issue.
When I used to have a crack at Pete Cameron and Darren Goldspink, Scotty, they used to say to me, the next time you go near the footy, you're not getting a free kick. So, and they weren't wired up back in those days, so it used to work both ways. So I'm sure you can relate to that. Now, just last one from me, the mid-season draft's around the corner. How important is this to the game going forward, and what sort of discussions around this sort of scenario? Because we've heard different things that might like to be introduced into the game, but how important is this going to be in the next couple of weeks?
Well, I think the mid-season drafts are, we've seen some great success stories with players being drafted, you know, John Newcombe and Hawthorne and amongst others. But I think it's something that I'm really passionate about and really keen to work with all the state leagues, the Waffle, Sample and the VFL, is that, you know, we continue to protect the integrity of those competitions, and that is hugely challenging when you're taking essentially players out of, for example, Waffle clubs. But I think it's really important that young kids who don't get drafted in the national draft have secondary opportunities, and you know, I think it will help the second tier competitions that, you know, that will help them recruit and attract players if those players think there is another opportunity to forge their way through to the AFL. So I understand the challenges with it, but I think it's, you know, it's really important to create as many opportunities as we can for players to get drafted.
And Brad, as a former coach yourself, now working at the AFL, the story of the day, of course, Leon Cameron stepping away from the Giants. I'm sure you've got empathy for him, as a lot of people do. Apparently a really good footy person. I guess the AFL and others will wrap their arms around him if required. And B, do you see down the track a future in footy for Leon, should he choose?
Oh, Leon can stay in football as long as he wants to. He's a real talent. He's a quality person. And any person who's had anything to do with Leon, both back when he was playing and coaching, he's just a terrific person. And I'm sure he won't be lost to the AFL. Coaching expansion club must be incredibly difficult. I think, you know, in the fullness of time, people will look back at his achievements and you know, think that he's done a terrific job. So, you know, I'm sure if he wants to stay in footy, he will.
Thanks very much for your time. Commercial radio, mate, we've got to get to a break. We'd love to keep on chatting, but we do appreciate you giving us your time tonight.
Pleasure. Thanks for your time.
Good on you. Brad Scott here on Sports Day, talking about plenty of the hot topics bubbling around in the AFL, thanks to the Dardanut Butchering Company's Valley Spring Lamb, available at WA's best restaurants, hotels and cafes. We would love to hear from you. 133 882. A few of the things that we've discussed. Give us your thoughts next.